Good morning and happy Mother's Day. We welcome everyone to worship this morning. We are a church that seeks to know God, love God, and serve God, and we're glad you're here today. We are the Smith family. I'm Ray.
I'm Becca.
I'm Ben.
I'm Matt, and this is Jackson.
Jackson!
Ben, do you want to read your line?
I love my mom because she makes awesome Yoda cookies.
I love my mom.
She's so special to you.
She's so special to me.
In addition to the service, we will be celebrating Mother's Day by making our mom brunch, playing games with her, and giving her gifts, and doing FaceTime with our grandmother and Ann Arbor and White. And our great-grandmother and grand-rabbins.
The theme for today's worship is honoring and celebrating our mothers and the importance of the Bible. In this time of uncertainty, along with the difficulties for some of us in not physically seeing our mothers and other important people in our lives, I am reminded of this Bible verse from Romans.
Romans 15 through 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Happy Mother's Day!
Hi, I'm Linda Victory, and I'm here with my mom, Ruth LePandrel, and we're here to share a story about our faith. Mom, I'll let you go first.
Hello. I was born and raised at the Martha Holmes Memorial Methodist Church in Detroit. It was a very large church. Here's a picture of a sanctuary. I went there as a child, and until the church was closed down. We had a chapel, a large sanctuary, a full-size basement that you could play softball in, and then at the end we had a youth center sponsored by the Downtown Y and Darren and Armstrong Construction Company. Was open to neighborhood children. And the gym was open to lots of basketball went on there. I worked there as a youth leader in my teenage years until I married Jack, my husband, of 63 years. And the only regret I have is that my parents did not attend the church. But my grandfather came every Sunday and picked up a carload of kids and took us all to church.
Well, my faith story, it's pretty simple. I grew up at the First United Methodist Church in Brighton since I was 10. And my parents never made my sisters and I go to church. It was just always the thing that we did on Sunday. There was never any question from any of us. And my husband and I, we were married in the church, and we have three boys. And that faith action that I was raised in was how that we decided to raise our boys in the church. And we just all went to church as a family on Sunday. My husband Steve and I, we at different times, we taught different Sunday school classes. And it was just a very nice time. And I thank you for letting us share our story. Happy Mother's Day.
Good morning. I'm Hillary Bott, here with Carly. Lowen's behind the camera this morning. We wanted to say Happy Mother's Day. Even though it looks different today than in the past, Mother's Day is still a day to honor, remember, and celebrate those that give their time, their resources, their attention to love, nurture, and develop others. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day. Now, please join us in beginning our worship with prayer. In you, O God, is the light to illumine every home. Today, we thank you for the gifts of love that we have received from mother, father, spouse, grandparent, child, and companion. As we are loved by you and by others, so may we love. Amen.
Growing up, our mom has always been really involved in both her faith and ours, and she's taught us that faith is more than just going to church. It's being involved in the community and being involved in prayer and helping others to learn their own faith as well.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we've learned from our mom is that faith is a good tool that we can use to rely on when things go dark and we're stressed, or if the world is really confusing like it is right now. So, yeah, and we've learned a lot from our mom.
Yeah, I think she's been a real inspiration for us to have faith, even in these times.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day. Yep. We love you.
Hi, my name is April Schauer, and this is my beautiful mother, Ruth Schauer. We attend the Whitmore Lake Campus Church. My mother's faith has been an inspiration to me since childhood. She took me to Vacation Bible School when I was 8 or 9 years old. After that, we became active members of the church. My mother was a Sunday school teacher for many years. I still have some of the bookmarkers and stickers she would give her students for memorizing their verses every week. She also encouraged and supported me while I was active in Sunday school in Awana, then the youth group and church quiz bowl team. For the last 15 years or so, I have watched my mother share her quiet faith and generosity at the Whitmore Lake Church time and again. She welcomes regular attendees and visitors alike with a smile and a kind word, has worked in the countdown room for many years, served on committees, taken care of flower beds, and has jumped in to fill a need with generous donations that she and my father have made to the church over the years that many are not even aware of, and the list goes on. I believe these verses sum it up. Proverbs 31:28-29. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpassed them all. I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Bob Fuchs, and I'm coming to you from the sanctuary of our Whitmore Lake campus. I stopped in to check on the building. Others have been doing that as well, and I just decided this would be a great place to come to you from this week. And on this Mother's Day, we're remembering the women, the mothers in our lives, and those figures who acted as our mothers. And I think back to my mom. This is a old picture of her back when Greg, Deb, and I were all smaller. And my mom is sporting the hairdo of the day. And I was blessed to have her as my mother. She passed away in 2010. So this will be the 10-year anniversary of her death. And I miss her immensely. My mom was one of those people that found a way to connect with others. She had a joyful spirit, and she had a heart of generosity. She found ways to give, and at times I almost was a little bit surprised the way she helped others out, because quite frankly, we didn't have a lot growing up. But I never knew that, because my mom was just so generous with her laughter, with her willingness to assist others, and with her willingness to give. And she never seemed to worry about where the next meal or how it would ever return to us. She did it because she had a spirit of generosity. And I believe that she passed that on to her children and me as well. And as we've been talking about scripture, that'll be our topic today. Sherry will be bringing the message. One of the things my mom did give me, and I still carry, is my Holy Bible that I received for my first confirmation. We grew up in the Episcopal Church, and this is the King James Version, red letter edition, so I can see exactly the words that Jesus spoke, and they're highlighted. And this Bible accompanied me to the Holy Land. This was the Bible I chose to bring with me to that special place. I miss my mother, as I said, but she is with me every day in how I act and in the generosity that she showed me. And this Sunday, we're still worshiping in the comfort of our own homes. Now, ordinarily, when it comes time for the offering in the service, we would pass around the offering plates, right? And they would go from row to row. And we would place our offering envelopes in them, and the ushers would collect them, and they go to further the work of the church. And that has not stopped, even though we are worshiping at our homes. The work of the church has not stopped. The work of the church continues in helping others, in continuing to make a difference in this world, spreading the word of Christ. And through organizations like the United Methodist Committee on Relief, we are helping others during this pandemic. And we're also helping them locally through our assistance in food banks and other ways. So we continue to give. And yes, it is scriptural. The Bible does tell us that we are to tithe, but it's a spirit of generosity and of a willing heart that Jesus talks about. And we continue to give. Now, there's a number of different ways you can do that since we're not passing the plate. You can mail it in. You can see the envelope just has to be filled out to First United Methodist Church, 400 East Grand River, Brighton, Michigan, 48116. You can send your offering in that way. I advise you to send a check. Don't send cash. We still don't want to do that through the mails. So make sure you have your checkbook and that you can do that and can continue to bring your offering even though we're not together. And if that doesn't work and you decide, well, I want to go a little bit more high tech, you can use your iPad or your phone. Now, I can't show you my phone because I'm recording on it, but I can show you my iPad. And you go right to the church website, www.brightonfumc.org, and you can find the giving button. Or if you don't have an iPad, but you have a computer, you can use that as well. And so you can use your computer to give online, going to the same website, and that's another way to do it. Now, if you want to eliminate all of this and make it a lot easier, you can just email the office, wendy@brightonfumc.org, and Wendy will mail you a automatic withdrawal authorization form. That's our electronic fund transfer approach to giving. You can give that way as well. So as you can see, even during these challenging times, there are many ways to give to continue to support the church, the ministries, and the word of God in this world.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day. My name is Brittany Compton, and this is my son Luke and my daughter Adeline. Luke is 13, and he's attends Scranton Middle School. Addie is a 10-year-old fourth grader at Spencer Elementary. Today's reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17.
But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus.
All Scripture is God-breathing and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. The grace and peace of Jesus Christ be with you. It's wonderful to be in worship with you today. And for those of you who are celebrating Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day. My hope is that your celebrations are creative and truly honor the memories and the wonderful gifts that your mother, your grandmother, and those who have had a mothering influence in your life have been. My day today is one of honoring and celebrating my mother. I'm also remembering my grandmother. And one of the things I'm remembering about my mom is how she modeled the practice of reading. For as long as I can remember, my mother has been reading a book. Even today, she listens to many, many recorded books. When we were young, she would be finishing the day reading a book, taking a break during the day reading. And I remember as small children, we would gather around her in the evening and she would read from storybooks for us. As we got older, she made sure that there were always books and magazines for us to read in the house. And when we started deciding what we wanted to read, she'd read ahead to make sure that what we were reading was appropriate and that she would be able to talk with us about it. I carry, and my sister does too, a lifetime of reading that began by my mother's model, and I'm grateful. It was in my teen years that I started to read the Bible. Now, I'd gotten involved in a youth group, and the Bible became of interest to me. My first books were the Gideon Bible, a King James Version. It was light blue. And then I had this dark green Bible that had, in big letters on the front, The Way. It was a Living Bible translation. So those were my first Bibles that I was exposed to. And I began to read the teachings from the different books and to seek ways that I might apply them to my life. So it's interesting that what I found in reading the Bible is that it's not always easy, and it's not always a bunch of happy endings and happy inspirational sayings. But what Bible study has done for me is help me to understand more about myself and my condition, the human condition, and also to understand more about God and God's desire for me in this life. And so, I believe that the Bible is essential. And perhaps that's one of the reasons that I became a Methodist and a teacher of Wesleyan understanding, because it's certainly something that rang true for John Wesley. I have here the current discipline of the United Methodist Church. And in it, there is a section called Our Doctrinal Standards and General Rules. The standards and the rules come from the traditions, the Wesleyan traditions and John Wesley. And I'd like to read to you what it says about the Holy Bible. We believe the Holy Bible, Old and New Testaments, reveals the Word of God so far as it is necessary for our salvation. It is to be received through the Holy Spirit as the true rule and guide for faith practice. Whatever is not revealed in or established by the Holy Scriptures is not to be made an article of the faith, nor is it to be taught as essential to salvation. So I'm going to go back and just kind of touch on a few points. The Holy Bible reveals the Word of God so far as it is necessary for our salvation. John Wesley believed that the words of the Bible were sufficient for salvation. And so to encourage one to read the Bible ourselves is to work out our faith and perhaps even to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Our doctrinal standards also say that when we talk about what the faith is, and lay it out, that it has to be reflected in Holy Scriptures. And if we're talking about what is essential for the salvation of the soul, we need to find that in Scripture too. It makes some sense then that we would have an idea of this sacred book that we claim. Now, I think sometimes we think the Bible is are those verses that we can memorize for inspiration. The memes with the beautiful sunsets and the blossoming flowers, they remind us of our connection to faith, and that's where we leave the Scriptures. Or we find people who will just grab out from the Scriptures verses that show the way they feel or the way they think and use them to judge others, whether that's one line of Scripture or a section, or whether it's judging one person or an entire group of people. And so the Bible's used kind of in these ways as an inspirational tool or a condemning tool, but often with single verses, not looking at the total holy book. I would suggest that the Bible is a truly wonderful, wonderful tool for us in our lives. So it works kind of like GPS. That it is a guide that when we're going the wrong way, it can correct us and bring us back. It can convict us to the way we should live, and it can equip us. Paul believed that, and we heard that in the Scripture today from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to just share a couple of those verses again. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the people of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is God-breathed. When we hear that kind of spirit language, a lot of things come to mind. It was God's breath hovering on chaotic waters that brought creation into being. God breathed life into human beings. We know that Jesus offered the gift of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, and breathed it into his disciples. And in that Holy Spirit, we understand it teaches us, it reminds us of all that Jesus did. It strengthens us for our days. It offers us wisdom. And if the word of God is God-breathed, then all of that is contained in Holy Scripture. Paul told Timothy, a young man who would go on to be the bishop of Ephesus, that scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All of these things that we might be in right relationship with God. And he went on to say that scripture equips us to be in service, in good work, in the name of Jesus Christ. I've been in many Bible studies here at this church and through my career. Oh gosh, every year I teach several Bible studies, and it's just a joy to know that many of you have studied the Bible with me. The staff has studied the Bible a lot with me through these years. And also I've had the opportunity, the great privilege, to share with you biblical discoveries in preaching. I'm remembering Bible studies today, and I'm remembering the great discussions we've had, the disagreements we've had, and the inspiring insights I have had from you as we study scripture together, brought in amazing humility and grace. And I'm remembering the debates we've had over which translation is the best, about who wrote the books and what that means in their context, about whether a particular biblical passage is meant to be historical or metaphorical, and also about whether to write in your actual Bible or not. You know who I'm talking about here, because some of you would never write in your Bible and others would, and they're on my team. I'll tell you that my love of reading led me to love reading the Bible, and it led me to grow in love of God. I think I love the Bible for its words and its teachings and its stories, and it's just digging in the mysteries and things that you can discover. But more than anything, I love the Bible because it keeps me connected in the faith and ever growing. And because of that, in this last message that I will give you about the Bible, I want to tell you a couple of things. So get a piece of paper, pencil, type it into your smartphone, whatever. But there are a few things that I think it's important to know. And so here they are. The first, the Bible is not a novel. Please do not sit down after this message and say, yep, this time I'm making it through, and start right there at Genesis 1. Consider it a library of 66 books. All of the books are different. They're written by different authors, different languages, different contexts, and different uses. We have books of history and of law, of prophetic vision and poetry and wisdom. There are letters, and the Gospels are persuasive documents that are meant to bring us to believe in Jesus Christ. All of these 66 books are important and inform our faith, but we don't need to read it chapter by chapter. We can start where we're guided, where we feel we need to study, where God might be calling us to get through those books. The next thing that I think is so important to remember is that when studying the Bible, consider context. It is not helpful to just pull verses out and say, oh, okay, I get it. This means this. This is what God's directing the world to do. Consider the entire passage, the chapter, the book. Who wrote it and why? Who's the audience? And what did the author intend for the audience? It's important to ask questions about literary context, and historical context and social context to understand the full meaning for the first hearers and for us today. So if someone tells you this is what the Bible means, go get the Bible and check and make sure of the context for the passages. The third one that I'd like to remind you about is to claim the Bible. Now, you may claim the Bible because you got a pile of them. You got them on your shelves. You got one sitting on a coffee table that's all dusty that has everyone's names in it and their birth dates and their marriage dates. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about owning Bibles. I'm talking about claiming it and understanding it and using it. I mean, a lot of people will look at the Bible and treat it as if it's one of those software app agreements. And so to get to use the app, you just have to push accept. So you go to the bottom of it and you push accept without ever reading the agreement. The Bible is not like that. The Bible is there to give us understanding and to set us free in the faith of Jesus Christ. You know, we're literate people. We know how to read. And this great gift is here before us. Another thing I want to remind you of is that individual Bible study is important and life-giving. But not only personal Bible study, but Bible study with companions. You may be waiting around till there's the teacher that you want. But you don't need to gather a group of people together with a particularly skilled teacher. To read in community and discuss what you've read can be eye-opening and the Holy Spirit can be present. What you might do is go with the questions that we've learned in Disciple Bible Study, and many who've taken Disciple Bible Study know these by heart. You take a passage of Scripture and you ask these three questions. What does this say about humanity? What does this passage say about God? And what does this passage say about the relationship between human beings and God? You take those three questions, you got yourself a Bible study. You can gather together with friends and continue to study God's Word. I also want to remind you today that the Bible is relevant. Some might say, I don't understand it, I don't get it, it has no application to my life, it doesn't tell me anything about these modern days. But I would suggest that the Bible continues to be relevant because it's dynamic, it's a living word. And there is great wisdom. The stories and the context surely may be different. But when it comes down to the larger truths of who God is and what God desires for us in our lives and what God promises through covenants, especially with Jesus Christ, there is great truth and it can be relevant every single day of our lives. I also want to remind you that the Bible is not to be read simply for the love of literature. The Bible is to be read so that we might grow in love of God. The Bible is central to our faith. It is who we are as United Methodists to read Scripture and expect that God will speak. And God's grace will be revealed when we study. I urge you to claim the Holy Word. Because when we do, we will live in grace and wisdom. We will indeed set our feet on the rock of God's word.
I invite you now to center yourself as we enter into a time of prayer. And on this Mother's Day, I'll be including a prayer for the mothers in our lives, our birth mothers and those other women and men in our lives who help shape us. Please pray with me. Creator God, we come before you this morning celebrating the mothers in our lives. We celebrate the mothers who gave us birth and brought us into this world. We celebrate their strengths, their weaknesses. We recognize that, like us, they are not perfect. They were not perfect. And for those who had challenges and made it a bit difficult for them to act as a mother, we turn to you for grace and forgiveness, and we also then give you thanks for those other men and women in our lives who filled that role when needed, who were also our mother. As we continue to battle a virus that we can't see but we know is present, we know that you are present as well. During these challenging times, as we are at our homes, we know that there are those who are not at their homes. They are actually going out and working, spending time in the public places, making sure that we have grocery stores that are stocked, that our food is able to reach our tables. We know that there are medical professionals who are working in hospitals and clinics every day, accepting that risk to care for others. We give you thanks for all the first responders and all of those people who, before this, we may not have thought of them as essential, but we know that all life that you created, all are essential. And we give them thanks for all that they do. For those who have struggled with this virus physically, who have been infected, we pray that they continue to heal. And for those who have died as a result of contracting the virus, our hearts go out to their families and their loved ones and their friends. They're not even able to mourn in the usual way, coming together, sharing stories. We give you thanks for their lives, and we give you thanks for grief. We give you thanks for those connections we had. For those who are struggling financially during this crisis, we turn to you as well. We turn to you as the church. May your Holy Spirit pour out on those who are in need, and those who have plenty, may they share it with others, so that no one during this time may go hungry or without a place to lay their head to sleep. Be with those who have lost their jobs, either permanently or temporarily. For those who want to work and are unable to do so. For those who are working, we know that you are there with them. And throughout this world, we ask that you be with the leaders of all the countries, of all our towns, our cities, our states. Be with them as they navigate through these uncharted waters. Pour your wisdom on them so that they too may see the power that you have. And for those who are watching right now, I know that you are with them, ever present, even though we are not together in the same place. Your power, your love, your hope, your joy, all of it is with each of us. Each of us have those in our lives who we're raising in prayer today. I call out the name Mary Ann, my mother, gone almost 10 years. And I know others are raising voices as well. Those in need, those who have had an impact on their life, those who continue to be present, even though physically they may not be able to see them. And we do give you thanks for technology, the ability to come together, to join together in prayer, to raise our voices as one in the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We are standing on the promises of God. We stand as a Christian people, a faithful people. So today, claim those promises. Claim our holy word. Claim the faith and claim the hope of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited to take part in this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of our community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn more or plan to visit us in person at one of our two locations once it is safe to do so. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.